Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is K-Rod Radio, and this is Patty Holtren, and yes, we are on live, and I know it's been a little bit of a hiatus. Too many things to do, too many things, places to be, too many things to see. You know how it is. Well, if you don't, well, then you should, like, take a look at my calendar. Literally, let's take a look at the calendar. This weekend, we're going to be out at the Kingman Kabam Book Festival, and that is obviously in Kingman. So, Kabam, Kingman Book Festival, and that is right in the park there on the, right off at the Beale Highway there. And it's going to be a full day on Saturday from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. KWAD's out there, Arizona Publishing's out there. We have three spaces, including one space that we have our energy renewal trailer that Donald Jox is bringing to coordinate with his book, of course, and how to get us into space and how we can survive, you know, everything going on up there. But, you know, get us into space, and that's the whole point. His book will be there, and he will be there. He'll have the renewable energy trailer there, and you will see how someone who is living on the moon can possibly live in the small quarters and being able to survive. So it's all about survival, and it's all about moving out into space. And so we got one space that's going to be just for that, and then, of course, we've got you got a radio show going on sometime during the day. Sometimes whenever I actually plug in and actually do it and make sure that my we don't have Wi-Fi out there, we'll definitely be doing a show either taped ahead of time and then run it on, I don't know, Monday or something. We'll figure it out. Because you know what? That's how we deal here. We just fly by the seat of our pants. Also, just to let you guys remember, hey, you know what? Space Access Conference is this weekend. It's, you know, Thursday through Sunday, and that is at Radisson Hotel Phoenix North. So, Space Access Conference, and then also on Saturday, you know, we can't forget this, Free Comic Book Day. And I've had a lot of people ask me questions about that lately because they didn't know about Free Comic Book Day. I mean, where have they been? But Free Comic Book Day is about certain particular comic books that are free from the publishers and that are bought, purchased, at a discount, of course, in order to be able to facilitate all this. But still, the stores buy these comic books so that way you guys can partake and have free comic books and being able to understand this, that this is not just a book, this is an art form. So that's the whole point of Free Comic Book Day, is the awareness of community. And then, of course, on Sunday night, we have our next space show with Alan Joe. Always lots of fun. What else is coming up? Man Monster Phoenix and 8th and 9th. I mean, is this crazy times or what? And then the World Horror Convention is in Georgia. So you can't forget all this stuff. This is international radio we're talking on here, so we got to talk about all the cool stuff coming up. Obviously, we've got the Building a Dream Convention, which is the romance group. Dream and Romance Convention on the 28th through the 31st. And how can we forget Phoenix Comic Con? We can't, obviously. So that's the 28th through the 31st as well. It's going to be absolutely nuts that weekend. And it'll be a very good Memorial weekend. Of course, we have our Hey Girl show. It's going to be earlier this time because of Memorial Day. I think actually they got that wrong this weekend. But, hey, we're going to go ahead and do it the 18th because that's when we roll with it. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, we've got books coming up. So, you know, you guys got to be aware of all the new books coming out. So we've got at least 4 new books coming out in May for Arizona Publishing. And, of course, now K-Wad is underneath the banner with Wad Media. It's also underneath AZ Publishing. So I'll be aware of all that. So today we're going to talk about a brand new book that came out just a few months ago, Conspiracy Rising by Simon Driscoll. And this is just a crazy book because we're talking about Warriors and Watchmen and mainstream thriller that about the end times prophecies and how it surrounds current events. And if that's not enough to scare you, you know, it's not even a horror we're talking about here. This it should be. We've got some. We're going to be talking to him, and he's got a second book already coming out in May. It's just in time for Phoenix Comic Con, so this is advantageous for us to talk to Mr. Driscoll right now. And let's just check to see if he's in here. I see him. Hey, are you there? Hello, Simon. I'm hearing somebody. Simon. Well, there's no hold time. 7225. And we're not hearing you. So I'm going to turn on chat just that way everybody knows. So you turn on chat and be able to ask questions. Also, if you I'm not hearing us. Which is, how would you be able to tell us you're not hearing us? But let's just say that you know the show's running and this is definitely on the air and you just can't get your question call. You're trying to call in and it's not coming in. I let you know your chat. Not hearing guests. I'll get fixed in a moment. So just hang on, people. Let's try this again. I'm going to take it and mute it and then come back up again. Give it a couple seconds. Okay, let's try this again. Hey, Simon. I'm not hearing you. So, I tell you what, let's put you on. I'm going to give I'm going to put us both on hold. And I'm going to we're going to do a spot here, a little ad, and we'll be right back. K-Wad Radio.
Come on out to the Hey Girls Americana Radio Show, hosted by Song River and Carol Pacey of Carol Pacey and the Honey Shakers. All coming to you live on KWOD Independent Internet Radio, broadcasting from the Ice House Tavern in Phoenix, Arizona. All sound recorded and mixed by Vintage Note Records. Come on out, check out the show, and then visit the website at blogtalkradio.com/KWOD radio. We'll see y'all out there.
And we're back. Let's try this one more time. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, can you hear me now?
There we are.
Good.
Good. I'm going like. Okay, this is not. I can't hear you. Could you hear me?
I could hear you, but I don't know why my equipment wasn't working.
Ah, well, you know that's technology for you. That's. And sometimes it's not quite working right, or just, you know, that's how it is. So, hey, we're here. And that's all that matters.
That's right.
That's right. So I gave you an intro. You know, you've got your first book out, and that came out in February, and that you were just a crazy man with the writing, and already have the second book already being coming out in this month in May. So I know it's not quite the end of the month, April, but you know I'm always looking ahead. So you are just nuts with the writing, and it's really showing. It's really action packed. And, you know, I have to say, though, that it's pretty scary stuff that you're writing here. You've got your end times prophecies going on along in coordination with the current events. But before we get into that, I want to explain to everybody, Simon Driscoll is, you know, this is his first book of this particular, in this particular series. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in Colorado. I've been a member of the my whole life, and that has inspired my interest in end times prophecies. I have studied them from multiple perspectives, from multiple religions, and I have been writing my whole life. Writing has always been my first passion. So I have written my first book in series, and I want to create a new image with this book, so I've been.
We're getting some clipping here of your audio. Are you talking on the phone or are you talking through a mic?
I'm talking through a tablet is what I have right now.
Ah.
Okay. I was using a mic. It wasn't working.
And it wasn't working.
Huh. Yeah.
Can you go in a separate room and possibly call us back that way? Oh, wait a minute. The tablet is what you're calling from, right?
Yes.
Okay.
If you need me to find an alternative? let me find another way to call back in. Give me a few minutes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Because it's clipping. It's like I'm hearing half of your word.
Okay, I will call back. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll wing it. So, we'll be right back with Simon. In the meantime, I'm going to talk a little bit about his book, and it's totally embarrassing when he actually comes back on. But I have to say that, you know, I read his first book, and I'm already going through his second book for him. And, you know, and then you watch more often. You watch what's going on in the current events when you read this kind of story. It's kind of like, to me, reminds me a lot of Robert Ludlum's work and the speed and action, and you've got your characters that are having to deal with things that, you know, obviously in current events, and so you've got some espionage, and you've got a family who is having to deal with all these changes in the world, and watching the signs of the times, and is able to witness things that are progressing pretty really really fast at this one point, and getting us all to World War III, and it just could happen so easily when you see things from, you know, Korea, some issues with Korea, and you see issues with Russia, and so you never know. So let's see if we have this one here. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here now.
Okay. It sounds like better. I think the problem is Yeah, it sounds a lot better. The other was just like, you hear half the word, and I'm like, you know, like, I know what you're saying, but but it is irritating for others. So we were talking about how easily things could progress with things going on with Korea and things going on with Russia, it was so easy for me to see how we could very well get to the point where you have in your book, which is moving towards World War III. And so it just, it really, honestly, any one thing could happen. But we were talking, as I was looking, kind of giving everybody a little more cue of what to expect from your book. And of course, I've already read your first book, and reading through your second, it's just, you know, obviously not done yet, but definitely reading through it and letting everybody know, hey, this is something definitely to read and understand. So you grew up in Colorado, and you've been writing pretty much all your life. And I do understand you've been writing some other materials. Now, what made you want to get into something this heavy?
This is the series that I've always wanted to write, and the other works that I have done were to help me develop as a writer, because I didn't want to do this series at the level of writing that I was at 5 years ago. So I took the time to write other books to give myself experience.
And, you know, this is funny how you say that, because so many authors come to me and they think that, you know, their first book is God's gift to, you know, the Word. And they think that this is golden and you've got to publish this because, you know, this came out of me kind of thing. But honestly, and I've had this said to me to several publishing professionals in the course of the years, that your first writing adventure is not always your breakthrough book. And what they mean by breakthrough is the one that actually is good enough to not only publish, but to get some notoriety and get some fans. What do you think about that?
I can understand that. I think that I learned so much in writing and self-publishing my first book that the second book I wrote was so much better. And yet it wasn't until that one had been published, self-published, that I decided to sit down and start writing Conspiracy Rising. I knew that I had come to a point where I could handle this series. It's more complex than the other books I have written. And so I finally felt ready to do it.
Yes, I would say so. And, you know, I would think that you had to go through an awful lot of research in order to get this thing done. I know that you've written, obviously, you also included a lot of your endnotes on where you found a lot of this research. So how did you, how long did that take you to do that?
Well, it depends on whether you consider it a life journey or whether you look at just the time that I specifically started collecting information. I mean, the first thing I had to do was read the Bible from cover to cover. And then in the last several years, I have read other books. I found some that were very valuable in source material and collecting multiple sources into one place. I've also scoured the internet looking for prophecies from different cultures, gathering it into one place. I didn't start actually writing and come up with the names of Brian Benson and Gideon Shumway until 2013. But it took me a year and a half, once I had a character name, to get book one to the point where it could begin editing.
And this is, you know, what you were talking about being a life journey. That's something that, you know, so many writers right now, and for the last, especially the last few years with the, you know, the venture of ebook, they're always in such a hurry. It's like, I've got to get this out like next week. And I'm going like, well, why? it's not like the readers are going anywhere. So why are you in such a hurry to get it done and out there? Because, well, I got to make money. Well, that's the wrong way, the reason to actually do this. So I think a lot of it is because we're talking about being a writer. And as you said, being a lifelong learner of how to actually write. I'd have to say between book one and two that you definitely have, you can see the progression of your understanding of not only your book, but also of the writing in general. So, you know, one question to you would be, what do you suggest other people to do? Maybe, you know, obviously to me, I have my own things I tell them, but what would you tell them if they wanted to write?
Well, the first thing, the best advice I've ever heard is if you want to be a writer, take 2 aspirin, and if you still want to be a writer the next day, then, okay, you sit down and you write every single day. People who are true writers, they have this pressure from inside to get the message out. It's something that you do whether or not you get paid for it. It's something that you fill your free time with. But the key is to practice, practice, practice.
Exactly. I know that Neil Gaiman had said that if you're not reading and writing, then you should not be a writer. It makes perfect sense to me, you know.
No,
he's just matter of fact. So let's talk about specifically Conspiracy Rising. If you're going to suggest what that is about exactly, what would it be?
Well, the short answer is I took current events and I analyzed ancient prophecy. And if I apply ancient prophecy to current events, we get a look at the near future. I had to skip over a couple of prophecies because I was concerned that I wouldn't get the book published before they happened.
Mm-hmm.
So far, they haven't happened yet, but there are a couple of prophecies that I believe will happen before you see the events of Conspiracy Rising come forward.
Hmm. I can see a lot of it too. And again, you know, I think that what your book does do is make us more aware of what's, you know, our foreign policy and things that are going on in the world around us.
Yes. I still have the experience of writing a scene and a few days or a week later I see something in the news that shows me how close I am to a possible future reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's, you know, we talk about fiction being scarier than reality. they're just too close to a match sometimes. But before we end in more, I just want to let everybody know that we do have a call-in number, 714-242-5145. A guest call-in number, yes, it's not an 800 number, so if you have a cell phone, it won't cost you anything, but if you have a landline, it will. 714-242-5145. If you have any questions for Simon or about his book or about his writings, definitely give us a call now. Chat is also open. So if you don't want to call, just want to ask a question, you can go ahead and write it in. That's just directly below the information about the actual show that you're listening to right this very moment. So we're on live, and that's how we do things. So when you're inspired to write Conspiracy Rising, what inspired you to do this?
I felt the need to help the world prepare for the second coming, and I've been given, I believe, a gift of understanding prophecy. My books, this series, the Warriors and Watchmen series, is my attempt to translate my understanding of these prophecies into something that most of the world can understand, so that they are not as mysterious as most people think of when they think of Isaiah and his prophecies, but to put them in a language that people can understand, which this format is a novel format.
Yeah, sometimes I find that, you know, it's easier to go down like kind of like a pill. You kind of take it with something that doesn't quite taste as bad. If you put it in fiction, if you put it in fiction format, does it make that pill go down easier? And I think sometimes that's the case. What do you think about that?
Well, I would say that many authors have done that, especially with religion. C.S. Lewis did the Chronicles of Narnia, and he put a lot of religious tones into it, but it's a children's fantasy novel.
Yeah, so, and he got away with
putting,
it.
Yeah, he did.
Which really kind of surprised me, because they actually, it was really interesting that they actually included that tone in the movies as well.
Yes, I was pleased to see that. It tells me that the director of the films understood the true nature, true purpose of the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would have been really sad if he wouldn't have included those particular, obviously, slants towards a particular writing. So if you were going to let's talk about your writing and say, what would you be your greatest strength as a writer right now?
My greatest strength as a writer, I would say, is my creativity, the ability to have a lot of characters and make them all have depth rather than be flat characters that don't change, that are just cardboard cutouts of true people, to make each character alive in the mind of the reader.
Yeah. I would say that you definitely have a grasp on making the characters different and giving them a lot of depth and actually making us truly care about them. Which is going to be, for those who like Game of Thrones, it's probably going to scare the crap out of them. But it's like, okay, is he going to kill these people? Do I really want to love them? After all, you're dealing with some pretty heavy stuff here. And, once we're getting into World War III and beyond, you're going to have to lose some characters. And so fiction authors are no longer fiction readers no longer trust authors anymore. thanks to certain author who likes to kill all of his characters. we talk about that. We talk about that all the time during the conventions. It's like, okay, we understand killing. When you have to. I mean, you can't go through a story, especially with a war, and not have injury and death. That's going to eventually become going to happen here. Although I have my favorites, and so I sure hope there's certain favorites are not going to be. and we're not going to lose them. But I have to say that in the first book, we really followed a character that really didn't have religion, even though he was. His story kind of started in right outside of a church. So let's talk a little bit about Benson and his story arc.
So Brian Benson is the main. I consider him to be the main character of book one. He has anger issues. He's got trouble with his father. His mother has passed away, and he feels that his father has never gotten over it. So
yeah,
when
and
his child is born. When his child is born, it really helps him overcome those anger issues and gives him a new sense of life and purpose. So when his wife and child are taken away from him by a suicide bomber, his whole world is shattered, and he has to find a new purpose in life.
Which, maybe not to that extreme in violence, of course, obviously, but a lot of us do go through some pretty heavy stuff, and so we have to find ways around it. So this is really a good arc for him and his journey. You can't agree.
Yeah. He does have a good arc. I'm sorry. I didn't sense a question.
No, but you can disagree and we can move on from there. So we're talking about prophecy and we're talking about the current events. Why do you think that prophecies are important for us? Not only now, but obviously in the past.
I'm sorry, the question got a little. Can you repeat it?
The question is, why are prophecies important? Not only now, but from the past.
Prophecies are given so that we understand that God is in control. He has told us that there will be many dark days ahead as he prepares the world for the return of Jesus Christ. And if we didn't know that God had planned out all those dark days, it would make it a lot more difficult to continue believing in him as we live through them. He's also given us a path for personal peace and safety if we're willing to understand the purposes and to follow what he asks us to do.
Yeah, that, you know, I know that a lot of people would have questions about that, you know, if they don't believe or don't have enough faith, they would think that this would be something, well, you know, can't we consider dark times to be something in the past? I mean, heaven knows that history has shown plenty of dark times. What makes that dark time different than what we are expected to come up? Coming soon.
Prophecies speak of a change in the times, going from times when wars help the spread of the gospel to a time when wars destroy the people who have refused the gospel. It talks about that in terms of wars of preparation versus wars of destruction. And I believe we're on the verge of the wars of destruction, which once they begin, they won't end. There will be continual world war until the millennium of peace truly begins.
And I know that you're planning on this being a series, a Warriors and Watchmen series. What made you want to call it Warriors and Watchmen, and what can we expect coming up here?
Warriors and Watchmen describes two kinds of people. There's those who watch and give warning, and then there's those who go forth and do battle. You can be a warrior of light or a warrior of darkness. You can be someone who watches for the good or someone who watches for the evil. But it's a question of whether you're passive or active in terms of these prophecies. In book 2, Fruits of the Shadow, we see World War III finally hit the scene in full force, and we have the different countries aligned according to prophecy with the so-called followers of Buddha and Muhammad versus the so-called followers of Christ. And I use those terms because there's an indication these people don't truly follow the teachings of those people. They only claim to, but in their heart is hatred and darkness.
Yeah, we won't want to say, because I will be giving a lot of away, I think. I know who you're talking about, and it is, it's not really a surprise of where it's coming out of, because, you know, after all, I was at religion once upon a time. And there's always been a lot of power. And so, you know, I've always believed that power corrupts absolutely, and when it comes to religion and the church, I think even more so.
Yes, when you hold the power over people between them and God, that is a different kind of power than whether you can take away their property or their life.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more personal.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Without, again, I don't want to say too much more than that because I definitely don't want to give that particular part away. We get more so into it in book two, but definitely by the end of book one, I think everyone will be, didn't see it coming, they're going to be very surprised. And, but then as they would think about it, that should make sense, and it has to go this way. So how many books are you planning on putting into this End Time series?
When I first sketched it out, I guessed there would be about a dozen books, and already the first two books have taken me three books to write because there's so much information, and I need to make it entertaining as well. So it may stretch well beyond 12 books.
Just so everyone knows, I'm also including the overall website for Simon Driscoll at Grendelman, so it's driscoll.grendelman.com. It's also clickable right there on the chat information. Also, since we were talking about Fruits of the Shadow with Book 2, which is going to be out at the end of May in time for Phoenix Comic Con. We'll be talking about conventions here in a few minutes. Also, just now putting up the actual series connection for Conspiracy Rising. So what's the difference between the book one and two, basically?
The difference between the first two books. The first book takes an introduction of where we are today or where we will be tomorrow, I suppose, and takes you up to the doorstep of World War III. World War III hasn't officially started at the end of book one, but by the time book two gets rolling and at the end of book two, you've got World War III is going on, and there's other conflicts that are rising and different other plots going on. Plus, I introduce a new main character for book two, and that is Princess Soraya, who is she's the princess, the daughter of the pretender to the throne of Iran. So she's a Muslim, and she's been living in captivity her whole life, surrounded by these terrorists, and yet she has her own inner strength that she uses to get through her difficulties.
And for those who get book one, you will see the first particular character introduction at the end of book one. Yeah. That way they can get what their appetite is for the next one, which is what I like to do. Okay, I'm going to ask you a serious question, and it's not something I didn't probably prepare you for, but because of the climate of, something that could very well happen, fiction, because this has actually come up in my mind, and actually I talk about this once in a while, is that fiction authors have a tendency to get things right. That things do happen that way. Like science fiction authors, for instance, for years and decades have been able to actually write and actually have their fingers on the pulse of what actually could happen, and wind up actually happening in the future. And then I see Conspiracy Rising with the current events and what could possibly happen, and I'm not going to give this away, but in book two, certain mega scene happens, and I'm thinking, we certainly don't want to give these people any ideas. So, and I often wondered about this, being a reader of this particular genre of espionage and obviously things that can happen. Does that worry you that you might be giving, them ideas, or you think that, honestly, they probably already have these ideas? This haven't.
The ideas that have been put into book two, they come from either straight from me or from prophecy. So either those ideas are already out there, or one person made them up just thinking about what might happen. If terrorists wanted to do their worst, they would have a team of people thinking up these things, and I highly doubt that I'm going to give them an idea that they couldn't come up with on their own. I don't give them detailed plans of how to execute it. It just
well, if we look at 9/11, that's probably true. And, you know, if you look back at 9/11, you would probably find out that that's definitely the case. I mean, the amount of planning that went into that particular day had to have been years in the making.
Right.
And
there's
you know,
an event in book one. There's the event in book one where they destroy the church that had been under construction for 130 years. And that had been, in the book, it had been years in the planning of on the side of the terrorists who destroyed it.
Yeah, so, you know, they knew they were going to do that. So if it's a particular case, if they decide, yes, I'm going to, you know, they may very well be planning that right this moment. So how do you feel about that? That's a little scary, huh?
There are certain key phrases and titles of organizations that I purposely avoided because if those organizations really do exist, I don't want them to be angry with me for portraying them wrong. And if they don't exist, then why would they belong in the book in the first place? So I have had a lot of people tell me, well, have you talked about this group or did you talk about that? And I tell them, no, I'm not putting that in my book.
You're not crazy.
It's one of those scenes
you're just an
came
author.
True. Yeah, if one of those scenes came true, I would not feel responsible for putting the idea out there. I would say I took the idea that was already in the collective unconscious and just wrote it down.
And that's, you know, that's something that I've thought about for other authors as well. So, it's, you know, if... And there's a lot of authors in the past. I mean, for a lot, Robert Ludlum's one of them. You know, again, there's so many of them that they used to, even one of them used to work for CIA. So he's now, you know, a mega author. So you have to consider how much, you know, how much you actually want to give them. But, you know, I watch, go on the History Channel or some of these other cable channels, and I see our military actually showing quite a bit about some of our key vehicles. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute here. What are you guys doing? You know? But then I think, well, who's to say that they don't, you know, that our enemies don't already know? And so when I read your book, I realize that, you know, the enemies do already know. And
I believe they do.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of, you know, you got to get more Ben Juniors out there, apparently. He's one of my favorite characters in your books. And, and I certainly don't. Yeah, it's like there are certain people, and I think it's probably the case. Maybe we can talk about that. But heroes, you know, heroes are technically don't just spring up. They have it. It's not that they have something in them ingrained. It just happens that they automatically click in when something happens. They just do it. And man, we need more of those people. Not thinking ahead of time, what will this do to my family? They just simply take action.
Right.
And I think you've got a good firm.
Do it.
Yeah. The thing is that they don't even consider, is this the right thing to do? They simply do it. It's an automatic indicator, automatic, what am I, word I'm looking for? Mechanism inside of them. Yeah. And I think there's a whole lot of people out there who actually are that way. Whether or not we choose one way or another. Yeah, yeah. As I said, I sure hope we have enough Ben Juniors out there to save all of us.
Yeah.
And are there in the right, at the right moment in time. Okay. To see something or know just instinctively and just act on it. So, you introduced us to quite a few more characters in book two, I think. And I would have to say that Brian Benson kind of took a second, kind of a step back.
Well, and that's on purpose. It's not that he's going to remain a minor character or disappear. It's that his journey during book two is more personal and not as involved in world events. So he's not in the forefront. He's not the one pushing the action in book two. But he's more involved in book three than he is in book two.
So he's in there, but not obviously it. His arc, so without giving anything away, end of book one, when you and I were going over this, you had something happen, and I said, no, you can't do that, because you were considering killing off Fran. And
yes,
I said, no, you can't do that.
And I'm glad you told me that. I really am.
Because I say his story is not done. He's got the most, I mean, if you killed him right that moment, everything that happened to him would be like a bunch of bummer. Eventually something might have to happen to him, obviously. But I didn't think that it was time yet. Because he just now gotten to that point where he can possibly move forward in his life, and then he gets killed. Wow, what a bummer!
Right,
but yeah. So didn't want to give up too much way, people. But you have to read the second book to find out actually what happened, because you don't actually tell us. So
right, you have to read book two.
You guys are just going to have to wait till there. But, I'm happy to know that you moved it so that way we won't know. Because I want there to be a question. Oh, my God, what happened to Brian?
Right.
So it's exciting to see the story in it. Sometimes I wish I didn't have anything else to do but read your stuff here. I have a blazer, but yeah, it is what it is, and I'm enjoying what we got. In a weird sick sense of the word, considering the material, and I'm hoping that people, and as I said to you when we got this thing started, I hope that people actually do take your endnotes, your reference material that you gave them, and go and find this stuff for themselves to just say, hey, I want to know for sure that what he's writing is true, and I want to know my point of view from it, and go back and look.
Yes,
and I'm sure that's probably what you wanted in it as well. You want them to actually say, "Hey, I'm not just going to take your word for it as an author. I want to go and find out for myself that this is true."
Yes, I do want that discussion to take place.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can see that this is, going to be the case, and people are going to have questions. I would hope so.
Yes, you know? Please ask me questions. I have more answers than my books provide.
Well, yeah, that's the funny thing about that is, another thing that authors try to do is just cram absolutely everything into that one book, you know? Like, no, you know, you're going to read and you're going to research more than what you can possibly fit in the book. And that's okay.
Yes.
Because, Now, we're down to 9 minutes, and I wanted to make sure that we got certain things, like how to find you. I did put, obviously, the information, but go ahead and tell us, obviously on Facebook, and obviously on your website, but tell us how to find you.
I am online on Facebook as Simon Driscoll. I have my website at driscoll.grendelman.com. You can order books directly from me there. You can also find the books on Amazon.com as well as azpublishingservices.com. I do respond to emails addressed to simon@grendelman.com.
And on Facebook?
I am Simon Driscoll. Yes.
So there we go, guys. I think that this is a powerful message that he's got, and definitely a powerful story. And I'm looking forward to seeing progression of it, and hopefully it won't be in my time. But, I have to say that, when I considered having a child when I was younger, I had to consider whether or not I wanted to bring a child into this world, knowing that this may very well be the end times. And I knew that. I had a feeling. So
yeah.
I said, I often say, God has, he knows what he wants to do. And even though I had a lot of trouble having children, I did finally have one who was the only one stubborn enough to stay in there long enough to actually be born. So, there you go. he had to be stubborn.
Yeah.
And even more important was that I had to make sure he had a firm foundation in his faith. And that I did give him. So, as a mother and as a person of faith, I feel that's my job to have done that for him. And it helps him to be able to handle the world, because it's a harsh one. And if it's all come to pass, it's going to be even more so. So you're going to have to be prepared. And so this, I think this is probably one good way, fiction-wise, to be able to inform people. Hey, watch out what's going on around you. I think a lot of people they put on blinders. And they get into just things that really don't matter. And I'm not going to get into politics because, I could get people really calling me if I do that. I'm not going to say anything specific, but there's some things going on right now that really don't really matter. You guys are getting all worked up over that when you got a lot of other things that are going on that you should be paying more attention to. Your own children, for instance. So that's my soapbox, and I'm really excited to see what you got coming up, and I know that you've got some other things in the works. I know you've got another book that you're working on that's out of this particular series. You want to talk about that? Or are you ready?
That one, current title is The Genesis Project. It's a sci-fi book set in the far future where an AI race is trying to create a human interface. So they create a race of cyborgs, and it's about how that cyborg race comes about.
Which I'd have to say, you know, there's not enough science fiction, real science fiction out there, as far as fiction goes. So I'm happy to see something come along that you know, we can really sink our teeth into on that. I know you've got something coming up, you know, because I keep you busy.
Yeah.
You're going to be with us in Cayman this weekend.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
So what do you... Let everyone know that, hey, what, you know, come on over to our booth, because we've got like three spaces, everyone, and we're just cramming full of books and possibilities. Okay, so he's, you know, Simon Driscoll's going to be there, his books are going to be there. You can take pre-orders for Fruits of the Shadow. We're more than happy to take your money for that one. And you know, definitely, yes, you got to get the Conspiracy Rising in your hands. So you guys are prepared and get and just learn for this and have fun with this particular book, because it's a really well written and action packed and it really moves along. So come on out and see us there. And I know you guys, you got something else coming up. Obviously you got the second book coming, Fruits of the Shadow, and that's gonna be... Let's see, I'm looking at our calendar here.
I'm going to be at Phoenix Comic Con with the Fruits of the Shadow.
Yay! So, book release will be the Wednesday before Phoenix Comic Con, so 27th. And it will be, and I don't even have the number of that particular space yet, but definitely get on, when I get that information, it will be on the information for you, and you'll be able to put it on your website and put it on everything, promote the heck out of it. And so we'll be there.
Find me there.
Yeah, exactly, because, I mean, it's a big place.
Yeah.
So you got to get a booth space, that way we'll know where we're going to be. 28th through the 31st, Phoenix Comic Con, so come on out and visit. And, of course, you know, he'll have his own hours to actually do a book signing, but the books will be there the whole weekend for you to take a look at. We might actually have something on May 9th, but I have to talk to you about it first. another invitation. So, hey, let's talk briefly about your what you got coming up here, your launch party. Well, yeah, because we're at Gangplank. I know you're at Gangplank, and that we're going.
Oh,
we're,
yes.
I want to talk a little bit about that for the end of this year. So let's talk about what you have coming up there. Yeah.
On June 6th, we have the Designing the Near Future, or Designing Technology for the Near Future, as a free public event. We've got several great speakers, some of which we're still working on. We've got the head of product development at Local Motors, who is using 3D printing to create carbon fiber materials in race cars, and he'll be talking about that. We have representatives from NASA and Boeing and Honeywell that we're trying to confirm. And where are you with our SpaceX friends?
Again, we can't say that yet. They haven't said anything to me yet. So it'll be Gangplank and Chandler. It'll be Gangplank and Chandler on Arizona Avenue from 1 to 5. Okay, so we'll have a lot more information out very soon on that with more details.
Yes.
Obviously, so we have 60 seconds, so let everybody know, you know, your last message for the day.
Last message for the day. The best thing that happened to me was one of the readers came and said that the result of reading my book was that he got on his knees and prayed and improved his connection with God. If it does that, then the book is doing its job.
Yeah. That's awesome. So with that, I want to say thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. And then we'll do it again real soon, because you're just a crazy man with these books. We got to get you on more often.
Okay.
Thanks so much, and I'm going to say goodbye.
Thank you.
And we have 10 seconds. So this is KWOD Radio, and this is Patty Hillstrand signing out for the day. And you guys are going to hear more often. And again, if you're going to be out in Kingman, come on over to our booth. I don't think there's any way you're going to miss us. We got our own trailer there with renewable energy and talking about, you know, getting the space and actually getting into space and doing things up there. So all settling space, and so we've got the trailer to show how that can happen. So we are happy to be here, and KWOD Radio signing out for the day. Guys, have a great rest of the week.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.